Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. Looking forward to having your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We're going to be talking about a very important theological, doctrinal, biblical issue today. And I'll just pose that at the very outset before we do a brief monologue. The question that I'm asking today, can God hate? Is it possible? Can God hate? Does God hate? You know, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about the love of God and God's love, and that's wonderful, and it is. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But there are a lot of people that do not recognize that God can and does hate. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. In fact, we would love to have your dialogue and discussion on this issue. We read the scripture, one of the favorite verses of all of us. In fact, it's a favorite verse of all that are saved. And many that are unsaved still have it as a favorite verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so, you can extend that, for God so loved the world that he gave. So God loves the world. God loves you. God loves me. God loves the sinner. But can God hate? Does God hate? Is there anything that God hates? We'll talk about that today on this broadcast. Let me remind you, as we do, we base all of our issues, discussion about the issues, are derived from a central biblicist worldview. What does the Bible say? How should we respond to what we see, what we hear, what is taking place in our world today? I have suggested many times, and I will again today, that we use a central biblicist worldview, that each and everything we look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? How should we respond to it based on what God's Word says? I call the Bible the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further he says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And ladies and gentlemen, according to Psalms 117:2, it's the truth of the Lord that endures forever. It doesn't quit. It doesn't go away. It is never diluted. It is never changed, never abrogated, never abridged, never to cease. The truth of the Lord endures forever. But ladies and gentlemen, we're in a society today when it seems that truth is not sought after. Truth is not does not have an interest. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. We find that to be factual today. And one of the things that I'm saddened to see and understand, some of the latest surveys, some of the latest polls that have been taken, some of the latest research says that, I quote, 55% of Americans 18 to 35 years of age believe that they can determine their own version of truth. They believe that each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do that, be like going back to the Bible in the days of the judges, every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. And perhaps that's the reason we see that taking place, is because there's such a sense that I believe truth, what I believe is truth, In fact, in this particular article, the writer says the loss of truth has grave consequences for our community, justice and sense of purpose, and mental health. I'm not aware of any civilization that has abandoned the reality of truth to this extent and yet survived. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And may I suggest that that is the answer to where we are in society today, is to seek the truth. And ladies and gentlemen, the greatest place to seek truth is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. The truth book, the book of all books. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. That's a gigantic benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find the flag and the flagpole at the base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in at Tools for Time. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the full staff, Tools for Time, to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, and wait for an interview. See what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we have today Pastor Glenn Davis, hailing from up in Folkestone, Georgia. Delighted to have Pastor Davis with us. We're going to talk about this subject today, have a little dialogue and discussion, and await you to jump in and ask questions, joining the dialogue today. Pastor, thank you for being here today. Looking forward to what God's going to say through us as we share the truth of God's Word.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. And first, I give honor to God the Father, who's the head of my life, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I do, amen, honor, amen, my loving wife, amen, of 36 years. Amen. Thank God for you on today. All of my family and friends, amen, that I've spoken with over the past few weeks, amen, I send my condolences out, amen, to my brother and friend in Christ, Bishop Anthony Domacase. His wife went home to be with the Lord before the Christmas holidays. Certainly, we are praying for your strength, that God will sustain you in this time of sorrow, and I know he's able.
Yes.
My brother, all we want you to do is keep praying and keep your hand in God's hand. He's able to bring you through.
Amen.
Dr. Youngblood. So I thank and praise God for the opportunity to be back with you. Of course, I missed last Friday. Amen.
Right.
But I thank God, amen, being able to be back one more time, because certainly it's very important for us to get the word out there to the people of God for such a time as this. Because when we look at all the falsehood that's going around out there, I mean, we need to know the truth. And that the scriptures say that the truth will set you free.
That's right.
So I thank and praise God for this opportunity, again, to be able to share with people, to let them know that even though God hates a lot of things, and we're going to go down into this discussion on today.
Yes.
But I'm so thankful that mercy trumps judgment.
Amen.
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 So God is a God of love. Amen. In spite of. And I'm glad that he loves us in spite of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But his hate, the hate that he has, is not really a hate against the individual, because he loves everybody, but it's a hate against the sin that the individuals commit.
And we'll
so we have to understand
that.
Amen. God does it. He doesn't agree with that. He never will.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to know what the scripture says in order to stand clear of his judgment on the day.
God doesn't close his eyes and wink at sin.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I'd love to hear from you on this very important theological, doctrinal, biblical study today. It's a study that could be for hours and hours and hours, but I understand from folks at the studio controlling the switches that we can't stay on more than about an hour. So I encourage you to join in the dialogue and discussion early on during the course of this broadcast today. We're going to uncover some things that I believe would be recognizable and some that would not be. But ladies and gentlemen, let's go back to the thesis of what we're talking about. The question is, can God hate? Does God hate? Is it possible for God to hate? And the scripture is very, very clear, one of our favorites, and I'll quote it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Ladies and gentlemen, our Bible is filled with scripture evidence that God is love and that God truly loves each of us. God's word directs us to love. In fact, Pastor Davis, one of the essential attributes, one of the essential attributes of God is love, L-O-V-E. Amen. That's one of the essential, when we study theology proper, and we're studying theology proper that I'm teaching this semester in the college and the university, but one of the essential attributes of God, theology proper, is the study of God. And one of the essential attributes of God is that he is love. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, let's set the stage for where we're going today as we look at the question and ask the question, can God hate? Does God hate? But we find in the scripture tons and tons, and I've not counted them, verses dealing with love. For example, in John 12:1, the scripture says that we're to love one another.
Amen.
Love one. We're charged with, commanded in the scripture, to love one another. In Ephesians 5:25, we're commanded to love our wives. In Matthew 5:44, the scripture says that we're to love even our enemies.
Amen.
To love our enemies. In 1 John 4:21, we're to love God. In fact, we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, according to the scripture. According to 2 Timothy 4:18, we're to love the appearing, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to love the coming. That is, we're to love and look forward to, and with great anticipation, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture is very, very clear that every believer is told to walk in love.
Amen.
That means
Amen.
To live, walk. Our activity should be in love. So the scripture is very, very clear. And we could go into a Bible filled with text in relationship to love, the command to love, who we're to love, how we're to love. In fact, it is contrary, Pastor, to the ooey, gooey, sloppy agape that the Sodomite community wants to use in their conversation with their Sodomite, quote, love, as they call it, says that any love is God because God is love. They're destroying the context of the scripture. They're destroying the truth of the Word of God. We'll talk about that further during the course of this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. God is love. God commands us to love one another. God commands us to love our wives. God commands us to love our enemies. And most of all, God commands us to love God. And may I say, with that is a firm foundation from the scripture. The question is, can God hate? If there's so much emphasis on love, such a challenge and a command to love in the scripture, and it's filled with those challenges, commands, directions, is it possible for God to hate? Does God hate? Is it possible for our loving God to hate? Keep in mind, hate, ladies and gentlemen, is a very powerful word. In fact, we are taught from early ages, we're taught from childhood that we're to avoid hate. You cannot hate each other. You cannot hate your brother. You cannot hate. We're to love everyone, the scripture says. And I can remember, Pastor, and being brought up, my dad passed away when I was five, being brought up by a mother that loved the Lord. And it was always a challenge, always a direction that we're to love everybody, love
Amen.
Each other.
Amen.
Even when our boys were growing up, we always taught them, and they were chided, challenged, and directed majorly by my bride, their mother. And it was always to love one another.
Amen.
Was the command out of our household. And that's the command in Scripture, to love one another, to love your wives, to love your enemies. And with that emphasis so heavy on love, how is it possible, and we'll postulate the question, how is it possible that God could hate anything or anyone? Does God hate? So our question is, can God hate? Does God hate? Is God capable of hating? That's Amen. The bottom line.
Amen.
Is God capable of hating? Multitudes today, ladies and gentlemen, live in sin, wallowing in sin, saturated in sin, and somehow, some way, think that there's no consequences for it.
Amen. Amen.
In fact, Pastor, I'm looking at an article that says, headline, leftist insists that the Bible morality actually is hate speech. And a move that proposes government impose what appears to be a clear violation of free speech provisions of the Constitution. A group of activists in Loudoun County, Virginia, is demanding that the school board ban hate speech in its meetings. A group organized a petition after another parent quoted from the Bible's admonition to take care of children. The district, of course, has been ground zero for the fight parents against the leftist, the ideologists that are promulgating and pushing the sodomite LGBTQ agenda in the schools. So, according to this article even further, Pastor Davis, it says that during the public comments, one speaker accused the board of promoting immorality and behavior that was against God and designed for nature. Further, the petition claims that hate speech incites violence. Ladies and gentlemen, this clear indication from this three-page article about Loudoun County, Virginia, if a Christian parent, mom or dad, stand before the school board and read Scripture with the admonition of what God's Word says, the Loudoun County School Board in Virginia is now contending that that is hate speech. In other words, God's Word, God's admonition, God's love for us, that he wants us to be obedient to his word, is now considered hate speech by that school board. And I'm using that as a precursor and a reference to what we're talking about today in relationship to what the question is, and that is, can God hate? Does God hate anyone or anything? I'm looking, Pastor, an article that says, college is actually offering classes on queer dance and porn and much, much more. Colleges offered students the opportunity to enroll in unique courses during last semester, according to the study. These courses tackled a variety of topics, including whiteness, queerness, while others focused on subjects such as pornography and pop culture, end quote. It's a five-page article on that. Gets pretty rough on the edges as far as the classes that are being taught. Point is that I want to use that to point out what is happening in our world today, in our schools, in our academic scenarios, in the professional as well as the political realm of what is taking place. With all of that being said, and our challenge to love one another, to love our wives, to love our enemies, to love God, and to walk in love, these things taking place, how does God view them? What does God say about them? What is God's view on what is taking place in our world today? May I say today, ladies and gentlemen, we are in a sin-soaked society where there's so many people just, as I call it, wallowing in sin. The mindset is that I can live my life and sin to the hilt, and God still loves me, and that God's not going to do anything about it. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we have today millions being murdered in the womb of the mother. Murder in the womb of the mother.
Amen.
And yet, somehow, some way, there's the mindset that it's okay, that God is just going to wink at sin, turn his back, and do nothing. Dr. James Dobson, a foremost name in America, among Christians in particular, has some statements about that. And Pastor, I'm going to use this, and then we'll launch into a text that I believe is worthy of all understanding and examination of it. Before I read this, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. This article says, top Christian. Now, I don't know who's rating Christians, But that's what they're saying with Dr. James Dobson. I don't belittle that. But it says, top Christian, U.S. opening Pandora's box that will lead to unspeakable atrocities. The Bible warns of those who pervert its instructions, calling good what the scripture determines is evil and vice versa. It's found in Isaiah 5:20, which in the King James Version says this, warn to them that call good evil and evil good and good evil, and that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And now it's happening, warns Dr. James Dobson, the founder of Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson and James Dobson Family Institute. Further in the article, it states this, the issues at hand are abortion, the destruction of the most innocent lives and marriage, the demolition of the biblical standard that institution is for one man and one woman, one lifetime. Our country is abandoning the most sacred values of life and liberty. Even in the wake of overturning Roe versus Wade, the cultural mandate to equate the slaughter of unborn babies with the inherent right of women seems to embrace now more than ever. It is appalling to think that our politicians on the left are embracing the so-called right that they now refer to as women's health care. He said at one issue, America is opening Pandora's box that will lead to unspeakable atrocities. I fear our ultimate demise as a nation. I'm reading from a large article by Dr. James Dobson. He goes further in saying the reason for the rebellion by humanity against biblical standards isn't complicated. It's simply disobeying the scripture. It is mankind wanting to have their own way apart from God. That's exactly why the left and the LGBTQ community are relentlessly attacking the absolute truth found in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, God created him. Male and female created he them. Further in Dobson's article, he says this, it is the clay calling the potter that he doesn't exist. And once this happens, man can begin to recreate life in his own image. History has shown us where this will lead. Evil will become good, and good will be declared evil. Tragically, America is already running recklessly toward this end, according to Dr. James Dobson. Ladies and gentlemen, what does that say to us today? How should we then live? Ezekiel 33, verse 10 said, if we see evil rampant, if we see murder rampant, if we see the LGBTQ sodomite agenda rampantly running in America and around the world, does God love that? Does God hate that? Should that be considered sin? Should that be considered something that we are to preach against, teach against, and read the scripture and warn and warn and warn some more? Pastor, I think so. Pastor, if you would, I want us to look at Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. I want to read that. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to look at what God says. One very pivotal verse, group of verses in the scripture that identifies the fact, points out the truth that God hates sin.
Amen.
But I want us to read this, Pastor Davis, analyze it, take it apart, and look at it piece by piece. Because, ladies and gentlemen, in Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19, the outlining of sin is all encompassing. When the sin factors are outlined, it embraces and encompasses every phase and every facet of what we so easily and so glibly simply say, well, that's sin. Pastor, I want you to read that for us. Then we want to see what the Bible is saying in relationship to that.
Amen. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're driving, don't try to write it down. If you're at a desk or if you're seated on your couch, pull out a pen, jot that down, Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. It is an all-encompassing list, though it lists seven things. It lists six things, sins that God hates. Then it lists one category of humanity that God hates. So there's seven things, the scripture says, that's an abomination to God.
Amen.
That means it's a stench in the nostrils of God. Ladies and gentlemen, in the world today, we're going to drill down and say in America today, millions of infants are murdered in the mother's wombs. Today, multitudes are living in sin, the sin of sodomy, homosexuality, they call it, transgenderism, lying, cheating, stealing, committing murder, deceitful lifestyles. So we say that God loves us, and that is true. Can we say that God loves all of us? Yes, that is true. But the things that we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, that I would put in the category of gross, detestable sins that's taking place in our world today. God truly loves the sinner, but I want us to understand there's some sins that literally the sinner must recognize that God hates that sin. And yes, the Bible gives us a list of people that God hates.
Amen. Amen.
Also.
Amen. Amen.
So the text that we just read, Pastor Davis, the first thing in that list, and there are seven things in that list, ladies and gentlemen, that God lists for us and says that he hates. Number one, a proud look. Pastor, a proud look is what you and I simply call pride. Pride. And some would just call it arrogance, haughtiness, stiff-neckedness, a sense of self-worth. And in fact, Pastor, there's so many of the pastors, I call them pop-up preachers today, pop-up preachers, pop-up churches, pop-up theology, pop-up doctrine. There's so many of them that are preaching a prideful message. They're preaching how we need to think good of ourselves, how we need to look at ourselves and realize how worthy we are and how wonderful we are. And Joel Osteen preaches similar messages to that and others in that category. It is a prideful, haughty attitude. But ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to get Pastor Davis to read Proverbs 18 and verse 12. And then also Proverbs, I'll read Proverbs 29:23, 18:12.
Amen.
And then I'll read Proverbs 29:23.
Amen. 18 and 12 says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility.
That's right. So the results of pride is destruction, and there is the humility that is the opposite of the side of that coin.
Amen.
And in Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So, ladies and gentlemen, the first thing that God speaks of in this list of seven things that he hates, the first thing that he speaks of is pride. And I say pride is at the top of the list because I believe, Pastor, we can take pride and it becomes the key that unlocks the door to all other sins.
Amen.
Major, major, major problem today is that haughty attitude. And we see that so often in political circles today. We see that with Nancy Pelosi. We see that with Chuck Schumer. We see that with AOC. We see it with Joe Biden. We see it, generally speaking, in the political arena today, especially on the left, where they are thumbing their nose at God, thumbing their nose at the scripture, thumbing their nose at we as believers. It's a prideful, haughty attitude. It's an attitude that is... my mother used to call it looking down your skinny nose at somebody else.
Amen. Amen.
And having that
Amen.
Thought. Pastor, wrap up a couple of thoughts before we take our news break.
Well, you know, if we consider everything you said, Dr. Youngblood, God doesn't want us to use that to classify one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just use as a great example, Hillary Clinton said there are they are a basket of deplorables.
That's right.
In society.
That's
so
pride.
This is the perfect example of pride.
Yes.
That's
ladies
where God does not coming, want us to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming back right after the top of the hour news. We continue our thought, can God hate?
EDU.